Thank you very much, Chair. My general comments here want to focus on the question of using agreed language when identifying risks. Indeed, delegations have emphasized the importance of using agreed language. In our understanding, agreed language does not only mean language included in previous reports of this group, but also includes language found in IHL and other binding sources of international law. There are three phrases or terminologies currently, Chair, on the screen in reply to your prompts that we want to focus on. The first phrase is the phrase unintended engagements, which does not appear in the text of the CCW or the Geneva Conventions and their additional protocol. Does the risk of unintended engagements mean the risk of unintended killing of civilians or protected persons? If that is the case, it is better to keep to IHL language on indiscriminate attacks or civilian harm. Second, phrases like algorithmic bias or simply bias do not sufficiently capture the risk being referred to. In its place, it may be better, for example, to talk about the risk of discrimination or the risk of gender or racial discrimination, phrases which exist in binding legal norms. Third, the phrase risk mitigation, equally does not appear in the text of the CCW or the Geneva Conventions and their additional protocols. It is critical that we explain what we mean by this and how this aligns with established international legal obligations, such as those that are found under international humanitarian law. Chair, some risks that are posed by laws already necessitate compliance with state obligations that exceed mere risk mitigation. Let me just give two examples, Chair. Let's talk about the risk of arbitrary deprivation of the right to life due to failure to comply with IHL rules of distinction, for example. The obligation there is an obligation of prohibition on arbitrary deprivation of life. It is not an obligation to mitigate that particular risk. So when we say we are trying to mitigate risk, we need to be clear which particular risk we are referring to. If you look, for example, at the risk of racial and gender discrimination, the existing international obligations on state is to eliminate all forms of racial and gender discrimination. It is not to mitigate that particular risk. So it is very important in this particular regard for us to have some clarity. Lastly, it is evident, Chair, that certain risks posed by laws entail international obligations that surpass mere risk mitigation. While introducing new terms is permissible, caution must be exercised to avoid terminologies that undermine existing obligations. In cases where clear state obligations pertain to specific risks, any proposed risk mitigation should be regarded only as supplementary to existing obligations. With that, Chair, I thank you.
I would like to thank the distinguished representative of IGRAC for indeed reminding us to already existing obligations. And I'm looking at the list. Yes, we have one more, the distinguished representative of Guatemala. I'm just looking. You have the floor.